Right up here hitting 275. That leads the ball club. He lines a base hit to left field. Heading for third, Escobar. He's getting the wave home. Mastroianni's throw cut at third. Sliding in to score is Yunel. Lori back to first, holding at second, Encarnacion. The Blue Jays get a big two-out hit, leading the Twins 2-0.
And that's the first inning for the Blue Jays. And when you score first on the Minnesota Twins, you win the overwhelming majority of the time. The Twins now 3-20 when their opponents score first this season. They lose it 6-2 to the Blue Jays, who tacked on three more in the third. Brett Lori with another RBI single in there. Henderson Alvarez gives up one earned run in seven innings of work, walks three to tie his career high, strikes out only two, but does a terrific job. He is 3-2 now on the season and has just been 22 years old. He's just been fantastic for the Blue Jays. Great relief work from Luis Perez, even though he had to change his shirt, and Jason Fraser, each a 1-2-3 inning. Yunel Escobar, a 4-for-4 day to match his career high. Eric Thames 0-for-4, but drove in the game's first run. Edwin Encarnacion 1-for-4 with a couple of RBIs, and Colby Rasmus 2-for-3 with an RBI double. As almost everybody contributes up and down the lineup, the Blue Jays beat the Twins 6-2 to improve to 18-14 on the season. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. Your phone calls are invited. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. And the question put before you, well, see, I don't know if I want to say that. I was going to say, how bad do you feel for Minnesota Twins fans right now? But you never know. They could get up off the mat and win the last three games of this series. But tonight was just, I mean, Escobar scores from second on a ground out to third by Edwin Encarnacion. Brett Lori goes first to third on a pass ball that gets away from Ryan Domet by about 20 feet. A rough night to be a Twins fan. And this team used to be the great bastion of Major League Baseball for playing the game the right way. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Noah in Toronto, listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, the Fan. I know you want the Blue Jays to win the next three, but do you feel bad for the Twins?
Yes, Mike, I do. I think, they still have the ability of being a decent team, but they just don't seem to be showing it at the moment, so we'll see what happens with that. I mean, look at Baltimore. Are they for real?
Right.
Who knows? As for the Jays, I think it's kind of nice to see this lineup start coming together. I think they're a good young team. I thought that for the last 2 years-ish. I mean, since AA took over, let's be honest, this team is a completely different baseball team.
Completely different.
Completely
top to
different.
Just, yeah, there's
it's
almost
nice to see.
There's almost nobody here.
Yeah.
That was on the major league team when Alex Anthopoulos took over. And I don't know if there is anybody. Edwin. Edwin and Bautista are still here.
That's about it. I mean, let's look at it, from 2 years ago, offloads Wells, which nobody thought could happen, but he gets rid of him, brings in a lot of young talent. Look at what AAA is doing right now, even all the way down to AA, which is showing some potential. I think we have a strong organization, and I'm looking forward to what's coming up. I think, Bautista, yeah, he slumped a bit. He'll come back. I'm not too worried about that. The addition of Vladdy, good leader potentially in the clubhouse. Let's see how he mixes in. He might sit on the bench with Vizquel. Who knows?
We have no idea if Vladimir Guerrero was a good leader in the clubhouse or not.
Yeah,
by the way,
knows?
He doesn't speak any English, so he's only a leader to a certain group of people even a leader, and he's still a long way away from being
in
the big leagues.
No, I think it's just a different dynamic in the clubhouse by bringing him in. I think it's an interesting signing by AA, but I mean, who knows? You've got Bautista and Encarnacion, a lot of the kind of Spanish guys in the clubhouse, so he might fit in well. But I'm very excited about this season. I've been to a couple games this year. I like what I see. I'm not going to start chanting 1992 and back-to-back World Series yet, but I think we are definitely in the right direction.
I agree with you, Noah, and I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. The Vladimir Guerrero thing is interesting. because it does change the dynamic of the clubhouse a little bit. And again, I have no idea what kind of presence in the clubhouse Vladdy is or isn't. But I do know that he's one of the best players ever to come out of the Dominican Republic. And he's got to be somebody that Jose Bautista, who is the undisputed leader of this team, especially among the Spanish guys, but he's someone that Bautista looks up to. So, you know, that would... Bautista's got a lot, I'm assuming, but I think that's a fair assumption. That would change the dynamic a little bit in the clubhouse. Probably for the better. Not that it's not terrific right now. It does seem to be terrific. The Blue Jays at 18-14, by the way. 91-win pace. And at the moment, hold the second wild card in the American League. Vincent in Toronto, listening on our flagship, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Vincent, do you feel a little bit? Do you feel bad for these Twins fans?
I think you gotta. I mean, like, their key, like, marquee players are injured or have a major injury pass. I mean, look at Joe Mauer, look at Justin Morneau. I mean, you gotta feel for them when your players are essentially, like, injury-ridden and have these issues.
Yeah, it's, you know, poor Justin Morneau. It's been so, so long a run for him ever since that concussion where John McDonald, he hit John McDonald's knee with his head while he was sliding into second base to break up a double play, and comes back from the concussion, finally feels normal, then he has wrist problems. And when they signed Mauro Morneau for long term, they were supposed to be massive contributors to this team.
Exactly.
For a
long time.
Yeah.
I mean, just imagine if the Jays right now. I mean, if Bautista,
yeah, imagine if Jose Bautista and Adam Lind were producing
major
right
injury
now.
Problems, it'd be the same thing. You know, we'd feel horrible.
Yeah, but I don't know that would necessarily translate into them kicking the ball all over the field and stuff.
That's true.
But yeah, I'll go with you there. The injuries alone are a decent reason to feel bad for the Twins. But I mean, tonight was just it was just ugly. They're showing the we have TV monitors here that they show some tape and stuff from the game, and they just showed again that Encarnacion pop-up single.
Yeah, that was embarrassing.
There were four Twins within 3 feet of that ball.
Yeah, but that's baseball. You know, you take what you can get. I mean, you know, these are the wins we're supposed to get, right? I mean, if we lost this game, that would be even worse.
Right. A fine point, Vincent, and I appreciate your call. They say that, you know what, you're going to win a third, lose a third, and have to fight for the ones in the middle. This was one that was, they were going to win. This was handed to them. So, they got the job done. Gary is in Brampton. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk. Do you feel bad for the Twinkies?
I think they're playing awful, the Jays. Awfully good.
Okay.
I'm sorry, but I just love my Jays.
Now, well, they are playing
awfully
well. I
love the way Farrell is doing this. He's putting Lynn in the eighth spot. He's going to start hitting now. The chemistry is getting real good. And I just love the way they got, you know, the fans have got to give them time. You know, everything seems to be clicking. You know, I mean, they can start with Minnesota and they can, you know, they can just glide. You know what I mean? I like the pickup they got with Guerrero. He's going to give you a lot of experience. You know, there's so many good things happening, you know. Bautista will come around. You just got to give the guy time. You know, I mean, everything seems to be going, you know, it'll go good. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. You're saying it's going and it'll go. And then when it goes, it's going to go. And when it goes, it's going to go well.
Yeah, I think everyone should be patient and let the Jays have fun. Let them play ball. And, you know, everyone's going to have... You know, everyone's going to be happy with the Jays. I really think I can just sense it. You know what I mean, Mike? I really think they're going to do well. You know, it's just a matter of time. You know, they got to take each game one day at a time. You know, they
can't. Perfect, Gary. I appreciate it. You're starting to repeat yourself, so I'm going to let you go. We got a few more people to get to. It is going to take time. It's going to take time for Jose Bautista to come out of this. It's going to take time for Adam Lind to come out of this. Both of them are much better hitters than they've shown so far this season. Colby Rasmus had a nice day today, 2-for-3 with a walk. But this is a talented team. And 18-14 may not look like much, but it's good enough to hold on to the second wild card with the Baltimore Orioles still above them in the standings. And that is not going to last. And I'm going to go with Yaz in St. Mary's next. But before we do, just let our fine folks back at the ranch, Dylan Brown and Joe Sicilia, know that our connection is lost up here with the caller. So we got to go to an alternate route. Yaz is in St. Mary's. Yaz, a two-timer today, was on the Blue Jays pregame as well. How do you feel for these poor Minnesota Twins?
I feel for them. I definitely feel for them. I think we should make a deal to get a couple of those guys over to the Blue Jays. But I want to talk about Alvarez. I think he's awesome, and I think he's going to win a Golden Glove this year.
There is no chance Henderson Alvarez wins a Gold Glove this year.
Are you kidding me with his defense?
No chance.
Why?
Because Gold Gloves aren't about defense, unfortunately. And I'm certainly not saying Henderson Alvarez isn't deserving of being considered for a Gold Glove. But he's not well known enough yet. He's a rookie, and he doesn't have a reputation for being a great defender or for being a great pitcher. And that's what you need in order to win a Gold Glove. You need not only to be an excellent defensive player, and sometimes you don't even need that. You need to have the reputation of being an excellent defensive player. And that doesn't happen for a rookie.
Playing for a Canadian team, and that's why?
No, he's because nobody knows about him yet.
So how many
Sean Markham deserved a Gold Glove. Sean Markham never won a Gold Glove. Josh Towers deserved a Gold Glove.
True.
Never, because, you know, they don't have the reputation. Derek Jeter has a reputation of being a great shortstop, and he's not, and he's got a ton of Gold Gloves. Rafael Palmeiro played 36 games at first base 1 year, and had a reputation for being a great defensive first baseman, and he won a Gold Glove. Gold Gloves are not about what you do on the field. Or, well, to a very small percentage of what a Gold Glove is about is what you do on the field.
Wow.
So don't get all excited. Just appreciate the fact that he plays really good defense. Thank you for the call, Yaz. We don't, you know, we don't need that kind of... it's a word I'm looking for. I hate when this happens. But, you know, you don't need an award to understand that you're watching a really, really good defensive player. He doesn't have to win a Gold Glove for you to know that Henderson Alvarez is a tremendous fielding pitcher. So's Casey Jansen, a tremendous fielding pitcher. You don't need the award because he's not going to win the award. Maybe in a few years. That's what it takes. Phone lines are open at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays, 6-2 winners over the Minnesota Twins tonight here at Target Field. I know a lot of people want to talk about Vladimir Guerrero, and that's cool. We can talk about Vladimir Guerrero, who the Blue Jays signed to a minor league deal today, but let's not talk about Vladimir Guerrero as though he's on the team, going to be here soon, or is even guaranteed to be a Toronto Blue Jay. When Alex Anthopoulos talked about it on Primetime Sports with Jeff Blair along many of these Blue Jays radio network stations, Alex said this is very similar to when the Blue Jays signed Scott Pitsednik last year. And Pitsednik never wound up with a big league team. It's house money. It's a zero lose proposition. It's not costing the Blue Jays anything to get him in and take a look. Last year, Vladimir Guerrero had career lows in batting average, on base percentage, slugging percentage, and home runs. He might be done. He might not. The Blue Jays are going to take a look, see if he can help. But by no means is he going to be penciled in a lineup tomorrow or even next month. And even if he does wind up in Toronto, he may well just wind up being a bat off the bench. So please don't expect that Vladimir Guerrero is going to be a big, big, big part of the Toronto Blue Jays' success this year. Claudio is in Woodbridge. Claudio, the question we're asking is, how bad do you feel for these poor Twins fans?
You know, Mike, I'll be honest, I don't feel bad at all. And, you know, let me tell you why.
They had
many, many great years. They went to the playoffs. Well, we were in the dumps, nowhere to be seen. This team was battling for championships, division titles. You know what? So, you know what? Good for them. I hope this continues, and I hope our success continues. And who cares how bad they are to answer that question. But, Mike, I want to ask you about
that's
Vladdy.
Pretty mean, though.
Well,
I mean, it's okay for you to think that. I was with you right up till I hope it continues.
No,
I mean, let it continue for the next 3 days, but then,
yeah,
you know, let him win a few games.
Let it continue for the next 3 days. Let us sweep. Let us go in there and sweep them, and whatever happens, happens. But I can guarantee you nobody in Minnesota, when Toronto was in the dumps, because we're looking good now, but I'll get back to that. But when Toronto was in the dumps, I guarantee you no one from Minnesota would have even given us any half of a good for them. You know what I mean?
This is very true, although the Blue Jays, I don't think since the 70s have been as bad as the Twins
are
now.
The thing, I hear what you're saying about Vladdy 100%, and yes, you know what? You're a great baseball guy. You know your stuff. You know, I'm not going to argue at that point. But I think Alex Anthopoulos, when he signed Vladdy, you know, I don't think it was to be sitting on the bench and to come out and pinch hit and play the odd time. I think he had a plan that this guy hit 290 last year, 13 homers, 60-something ribbies. You know,
yeah, that's not good.
No, it's not good. It's career lows. But that 290 average, you look at that 290 average to our lineup right now, and he's beating almost everybody on the team, except for a few people, if he was to keep that pace, right? I have a feeling that he's going to go. Let me ask you this. He's going to the minors. Is that what it is? He's going to play down in the AAA team for a bit?
No, he's going to extended spring training, and then he might wind up playing for the A-ball team. It's going to, it's going to be a long time until he gets to AAA.
The best thing that can happen for us is if he swings that bat okay, and he sticks, and we stick him right in the fourth, fifth slot in our lineup, and he protects Batista, and you know what, just the fear that's Vladdy Guerrero, you know, at any time he could pop one out. If he can hit it, if he could keep a 280, 290, and who knows, right? He hasn't, you know, maybe he's well rested now. He hasn't been playing the wear and tear on his body, right?
Claudio,
you
know? I love your optimism, but let me ask you this question. If all that were true, and if Vladimir Guerrero was a viable candidate to hit in the middle of the order of a team that, you know, wants to be in the playoffs, why is it May 10th and no team in the major leagues has signed him until today?
Well, do you know what they signed him for? Maybe it was a dollar issue. Maybe nobody wanted to pay what he was looking for.
It's a minor league invite, and I believe if he makes the team, he makes $1.3 million.
Okay, so which is
pittance.
Peanuts in today's day, right?
Right?
So you
nothing.
Got a point there. So all as I can do and all of us as Toronto fans can do is just hope this guy, I really do, I hope he could come up with all his experience and hit somewhere in the fourth, fifth, sixth slot, because I'll tell you, Adam Lind, I don't know what's going on with him. I don't know. I'm just not impressed, and I don't think he's a fourth or fifth hitter.
Encarnacion, he's in eighth right now.
Encarnacion at one time, you know, like I remember back, I was listening to all the talk shows and everybody, we were all writing him right out of Toronto, then all of a sudden he went on fire, this guy.
Yep.
You know, towards the second half of the season, am I right? Like up to the
You are correct, at the end of June.
So right now he's swinging the bat like Batista swing. Batista's going to be
not
back.
Right now.
He's going to get to 45, 50, 58 homers again. We have faith in that. And Encarnacion keeps this up. If we could put a Vladdy somewhere in that middle, this is what I'm hoping, because right now, and you know, I'll hang up and listen. You tell me what you think, Adam Lind. I'm not liking. I think Alex had a plan, and that was, you know what? Let's hope that Vladdy can maybe play some DH, stick Encarnacion at first base, because he's done that before, and maybe we can mix that bat in there and maybe give, maybe play Lind against against the lefties, and maybe Vladdy, you know what I'm saying? Because they bat separate, right? Lind's a left-handed batter.
Right.
Vladdy's
play
a
Lind against righties and Guerrero against lefties. Thank you for the call, Claudio. I appreciate it. You win the prize for the most optimistic Blue Jay fan I've ever talked to. I love it. I don't know that there's anybody out there who thinks that Jose Bautista's going to hit 45 or 50 home runs still this year. He might. He might. He's going to have to heat up. He might, but that's a long shot. But Vladdy, you know, I'll say the same thing I said 2 minutes ago. If people thought he was going to be able to make that much of an impact, he would not have been unsigned on May 9th. They're hoping that he can be a contributor, but I certainly don't believe that they, even in their wildest dreams, they think he can be a middle of the order bat again. If he is, then I think Alex Anthopoulos should be immediately named president of everything. We are going to have more Blue Jays talk for you on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We will carry it all the way to midnight Eastern time, but for the remainder of our Blue Jays radio network, we're going to let you go at the bottom of the hour, but you can still continue to listen online, sportsnet590.ca. We're not allowed to stream during the game, but once the game's over and into the postgame, pregame, all that wonderful stuff, we will. We are streaming online right now, so you can listen to us at sportsnet590.ca. You can try the Twitter at wilderness590, but again, on the road, very difficult for me to keep a good close eye on the Twitter. We will check out what else went on and continues to go on around the big leagues tonight. The Blue Jays, winners over the Twins, but I'm not going to tell you the score because we got an update coming up. It is the Blue Jays Radio Network. Blue Jays take down the Minnesota Twins 6-2 to open this four-game series here at Target Field in Minnesota. Yunel Escobar goes 4-for-4 to tie his career high, and Henderson Alvarez gives up one earned run over seven innings of fine work. I'm Mike Wilner, and we are checking the scoreboard for you. There's only one game still going on right now in the big leagues, and the Detroit Tigers are embarrassing the Oakland A's. It is 9-2 in the top of the fifth inning. The Tigers scored eight runs as a windstorm blows through Target Field, knocking over a bunch of All-Star ballots and stuff. The Tigers scored eight runs in the top of the third inning. Prince Fielder had an RBI in there with an E3. Miguel Cabrera had an RBI double and an RBI single in that inning. So it's 9-2 Tigers over the A's in the top of the fifth. Earlier, the Orioles and Rangers split a doubleheader. In the opener, Colby Lewis became the first pitcher in Major League history to allow five home runs and strike out at least 10 batters. He had 12 Ks and lost. Orioles won 6-5. Baltimore set an American League record with back-to-back-to-back home runs to start the game. Rangers took the nightcap 7-3. Josh Hamilton with his Major League leading 15th home run. Yankees beat Tampa 5-3. Rafael Soriano gets a save as CC Sabathia's 5-0. Cleveland over Boston 8-3, the seventh time this season that the Red Sox have given up at least eight runs in a game. And in the National League, Steven Strasburg, 13 strikeouts over six innings of work. Washington beats Pittsburgh 4-2. Series continues right here tomorrow night at Target Field. We are on the air at 7:30 Eastern time for an 8:10 first pitch. 7 o'clock if you're listening on our flagship, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Kyle Drabek against Nick Blackburn. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network. For Jerry, Allen, Tom, Dylan, Joe, I'm Mike. Good night from Minnesota. The 0-1 Delory swung on, hit on the ground, up the middle. That's a base hit. Encarnacion rounds third, and there will be no throw home. RBI single, Brent Lory, and the Blue Jays lead it 4-0. Lory with his second RBI single of the game was followed immediately by a ground rule double by Colby Rasmus after Lory went first to third on a pass ball that got about 20 feet away from Twins catcher Ryan Domet, who had no idea where the ball was. Just one of three brutal plays by the Twins tonight on defense. They let an Edwin Encarnacion pop-up drop like 10 feet up the third baseline where four Twins surrounded it, one of whom, Domet, had no clue where the ball was. And Yunel Escobar scores from second base on a ground out to third by Edwin Encarnacion in the third inning. 6-2, the Blue Jays lead the Twins. Beat the Twins. How about that? It's over. Because this is, you know, the post-game show, the Blue Jays talk. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell in long distance. 1-888-666-0590. The question we're asking tonight is, do you feel bad for Twins fans? Mike in Oakville, do you feel bad?
How are you? Is this Minnesota Mike on the road?
I'm still Toronto, Mike, but I'm in Minnesota. Yeah, it's tough to call the game from
I know. I'm enjoying your work. I'm glad to see you on the road with the team. It's good.
Thank you very much. I'm loving it, too.
Okay,
probably more than you, I hope.
But well, I'm enjoying.
No, I'm having a blast.
The Jays playing so well. Here's my deal.
Yeah.
If you'd been told at the first of the year, that imagine a scenario where Batista's hitting below 200 and knocking in no runs, the middle of the order's not producing, and we've blown seven saves already, would you have predicted an 18-14 record?
No.
No. Nobody in their right mind would have.
No, I think you'd we're looking at 12-20, something like that.
Right. I think we're looking at a well-managed team where the role players are feeling their roles. It seems that almost every button the manager pushes, other than the closer, is working.
That's a pretty big button, though.
Well, it is, but I mean, if this is as bad as it gets, and I tell you, three or four of these losses have just broken my heart, and I'm not on the team. And these guys come back the next day and play their guts out. I'm impressed. This is a well-managed team.
This is a good team. This is a very talented team. I never know how much credit to give to a manager. You know, for me, it's the players that are either getting the job done or not getting the job done. I'm a fan of John Farrell's. I think he's a smart man, and I think he knows the game, and I think he consistently puts the team in a position to do its best, which is really all a manager can do.
Well, he seems to stay out of their way when they're prepared to play well. And I think that was always one of the tributes that I'd give to Cito Gaston. He knew when to stay out of their way.
Okay.
When they're playing well. I just think that if I'm not predicting that you're saying this plays out to a 91-win season. I'm not predicting 91
wins.
Well,
I'm not predicting that either. That's just
he's just a quality hitter. He's going to hit. I think Lind moving down the order in a proper role play is going to play well. And I just think these guys are there's roles for these guys, and they're going to do well. I don't think the starting pitching is going to quite hold up the way it has, but we're not going to keep blowing saves this week. We can't possibly keep blowing all these saves.
No, you're absolutely right.
So I think as fans, we have to realize that this team's for real. They're not the kind of team that has all the marquee names, but they seem to play top to bottom in the order. They play sound baseball. And they seem to be, and I go back to, I think they're well managed. I think the young players are speaking highly of their manager, and that's a good sign. They seem to have the when he presses the buttons, it seems to work, as they say, other than the closer, and I don't blame that on him.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate the call. And again, I like John Farrell a lot, but I have a hard time giving way too much credit to a manager. It's the players on the field that are getting the job done. Donnie is in New Brunswick listening on Sportsnet590.ca. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk, Donnie. Turn your computer down, I guess, since you're not listening on the radio. Do you feel bad for Twins fans? You're a little farther east than Toronto, so you might not have as much of a connection. Not that that means anything, but do you feel for them?
Well, you got to feel a little like you're human, right?
It's just a horrible display here. You know, I mean, I would, if I was a Twins fan, or if I was the Twins post-game guy, I think, you know, I'd have no hair left by now watching this.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far, but anyways, I'm not really buying this Guerrero hype. Like, if we do see him, it won't be post till after All-Star break, but I really want to see Ghost. That's what I want to see. I want to see him top the order, playing center, move Rasmus over to left, you know. And if you do that, you got Snider or Thames, they're going to be on the bench. So where's the room for Guerrero?
Well, why? I mean, don't you think it's a little soon for Anthony Ghost? I mean, shouldn't he, like, hit at some point in his professional career before he gets called up to the major leagues?
Well, we put him up top of the order and just punt every time.
Yeah, no. You know, he's hitting .237 in Vegas right now, which is a great place to hit. His on-base is .323, which I love. I love that isolated on-base. He's walking quite a bit, but he's striking out more than once a game at Triple-A. And again, he's hitting .237. I don't know why you would want to see him in the top spot of a major league lineup. He can't steal first.
I guess I could be wrong. I'm known to be wrong, but I just like the idea of having someone with some speed at the top of the order. And we don't, like, I like Kelly Johnson, but I think I'd rather see him hitting seventh.
I don't think I'd rather see Kelly Johnson hitting seventh. He's way too good for that. He's one of the best on-base guys on the team. He should be in the top of the lineup. But you're right, he's not a speed demon. He's not a burner. And Anthony Gose most certainly is. But Anthony Gose has never hit at any level. I mean, that's still the one thing that has to come around. And at worst, I think he'll still have a major league career because his defense is so good, his speed is unbelievable, and he can take a walk. But, you know, that's a nine-hitter. Right now, he's a nine-hitter. And, you know, I know he's an exciting player because of that speed and because of that defense, but nobody should be looking for Anthony Gose to get called up and be put in the leadoff spot in the major leagues. Jeff is in Mississauga. Jeff, do you feel bad for these Twins fans?
No, not at all. I don't
Heartless,
think they were
feeling
bad for us for the last 20 years.
The Blue Jays were never this bad.
What, like four or five times?
Yeah, more, I think.
My comment was, Vladdy Guerrero, I don't know about that. I don't see him getting even in the AAA, I don't think. One thing I want to say, though, can you believe the starting pitching?
Starting pitching has been unbelievable.
I hope they can keep it going. I don't think they can keep it going at the rate they are.
Right.
But if they can at least maintain just a little bit of what they got, because the hitting is going to come around, no doubt about that. I mean, Lind isn't a 190 hitter. And,
correct.
Bautista
neither is Bautista.
Pardon me?
Neither is Bautista.
Yeah, right? So they got to turn it around. And once they do, I mean, sky's the limit. If the pitching now closer, I don't know.
I think they're okay at closer once Santos comes back. And I think Jansen will be fine.
What? How long is Santos out for? Like, what's the word on him?
I think the last I heard is that he's probably going to be another 10 days to 2 weeks before he gets in a minor league game. From there, it might only be a week and a half, but I think we're looking at end of May.
Hey, like Santos, if he can just do what he did last year, you know?
Unbelievable. He was great last year.
I'm excited, you know. 20 years now, I've been waiting for a good team. If it doesn't happen this year, I think next year for sure, but I want it to happen this year, you know.
I know, and everybody does.
I bleed blue, you know.
And you should. I appreciate that, and thank you for the call. You've seen quite a few good Blue Jay teams over the last 18 years, but obviously none who've been good enough to be in a real pennant race late in the season. And we all want it to happen this year, really. We all want it to happen this year. But if it does happen this year, it will happen ahead of schedule, which doesn't mean it can't happen. But it means good things will have to keep going. And so far, so good at 18-14 right now for the Blue Jays, a pace that would put them in the playoffs if they can keep playing at this pace, winning 9 out of every 16 games as the season goes along. We're at the 20% mark of the season, kind of, you know, 160. But they're doing a fine job. I agree with you. I don't think the starting pitching can remain this good, but I do think the hitting will pick it up. At some point, the starting pitching will flag. But at some point, Lind and Bautista will start to hit. Thames, if he's still here, will start to hit. Right now, there's no reason to believe he won't still be here. And that's going to help this team a lot. More of your phone calls coming up. So Blue Jays talk continues live from Target Field in Minnesota. It is Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Turns to bunt, pushes it up along third. Charged by Alvarez, off-balance throw on a bounce. It skips down the right field line. Komatsu sprinting for second. The ball goes under the glove of Kelly Johnson. Komatsu digging for third. Bautista's throw on a bounce to slide the tag. He's out at third base.
Now, Eric Komatsu was a Rule 5 pick this past winter by the St. Louis Cardinals. So he had never played above AA before this year. He was picked up on waivers by the Twins last week. So maybe he didn't know about Jose Bautista's arm. But that was kind of nuts. A bunt single. Henderson Alvarez throws the ball away. Komatsu goes to second. And then he decides to test Bautista. Not a good idea. And that ended the second inning. The Blue Jays led 2-0 at the time. They win 6-2 over the Minnesota Twins in the opener of this four-game series. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. Going to midnight Eastern on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And listening on Sportsnet590.ca, we're going for the first time in the history of this program, as far as I can remember, my 11 years doing this show, we have never had a caller from Iceland before. Daniel in Reykjavik, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Good. How's Reykjavik?
It's almost 4 o'clock in the morning here, and the sun's up, so it's awesome.
I appreciate your stick-to-itiveness to try to get on the show staying up super late. So talk about whatever you want, Daniel.
We're here on a bachelor party, so it's really not that hard. It's great.
You decided to go to Iceland for a bachelor party?
That's right. We thought Vegas was overdone. So
that is phenomenal. That might be the best thing I've ever heard.
Well, I'm glad I was able to brighten your day. So
the floor is yours, Daniel.
Thank you. So if John Farrell was going to give 100 at-bats or 40 games or so to Adam Lynn to prove if he could be in the fourth spot or not, what's the leash on Jose Bautista in the three spot? Is it just perpetuity? He can never lose that spot no matter what? If he's hitting 177 in August, he stays there?
No, I don't think it's going to be that long.
All-star
break, end of June. This guy's been the best hitter in Major League Baseball 2 years in a row.
Oh, I agree.
But you have to give that guy a long leash. You just have to. That's the way it works. And I
the only question is, how long do you, in your opinion, is that leash?
All-star break?
Okay.
Maybe less if he's still not hitting too many home runs and hitting under 200 and the on-base is around 310, 320. Maybe end of June.
I move him up to the two spot because his on-base is still pretty good. His productivity is down, so put someone who's a little more productive in the three spot and keep him in the top part of the lineup to keep getting on base so he can be the guy on base when someone else knocks him in.
You can't do it. I mean, you just can't. It's you're dealing with personalities. You're dealing with people who believe that they have earned something, and politically and for the sake of team unity and clubhouse and keeping your superstar happy, Jose Bautista's got to hit third for a while. I agree with you. I he's not getting the job done. He knows he's not getting the job done. But, I mean, it's real life. It doesn't work that way. You can't just pull the rug out from under a guy who's been the best hitter in baseball 2 years running.
Sorry, Mike. One of the things that's so great about Jose, though, is he's such a team player. Don't you think that if it was presented to him that, you know, he does get on base and it's for the betterment of the team, he would gladly take, and I wouldn't even call it necessarily demotion, just a reorganization?
It would be a demotion. There's no question about it. Your best hitter hits third. I don't think there's any chance that he would gladly take a move in the lineup. He would do it because you're right, he's a team player, but it would not be gladly by any means, and it's a slap in the face, and you just don't do that to your best player unless it's, you know, been a long-term period of really diminished returns, and it's 2 months is not that, and 3 months is not that. You know, Vernon Wells, it had been a struggle for a good year and a half. With Adam Lind, he's had flashes of absolute brilliance over the last 2.5 years, but far more often he's not been good, and that's why he can... You make your 100 at-bats with Lynn. With Bautista, you can't. And you know what? Even in his first great year, he only hit 260. And last year he hit 300, but that might have been the fluke. And maybe what Jose Bautista is a 255, 260 hitter who gets on base a ton and hits a lot of home runs. And that's fine. But, you just can't. You can't make that your move to take, again, the guy who's been the best hitter in baseball 2 years running and move him out of the third spot.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Enjoy your time in Minnesota, and I'll keep listening. Thanks.
Thank you, and enjoy your time in Reykjavik. It sounds awesome. It really does. You know, I completely understand. He's not hitting. He's not getting on base at the rate that you would expect him to get on base. He's having a really, really hard time. But you just can't do it. Josh is in Toronto. You're on the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590. The Fan. Josh, do you feel terrible for Twins fans?
Oh, I mean, that was they looked like a high school team out there tonight.
That was rough.
Yeah, thankfully the Jays are playing a little better this year when you're behind the mic, eh?
You know, last year was not so pretty. But this year, 9-1, they've outscored their opposition when I'm getting a call play-by-play. So we're all very pleased about that.
Yeah, it's nice to have a solid bench player in you, Mike.
Yeah, no.
When they, yeah, you know, I look.
Thank you.
Not that I don't wish Jerry and Alan health and long life, but I'm not worried about the future when it comes to our radio broadcast.
I appreciate that a great deal. Thank you.
All right, so just a couple of points. I wanted to talk first about Henderson Alvarez. It was another great quality start tonight. And, but what really bothers me, I go on the Twitter during the game, and everyone's already trying to figure out how he's going to regress, why he's going to regress. He's not.
I know,
playing.
Isn't that something? That's, you know, what advanced metrics have brought us, is that that everybody thinks that they can predict the future because of ground ball rates or lack of strikeouts, and how can you continue to be this good and you know, not striking people out, and your batting average on balls in play is going to revert to normal, and when you do, when it does, you're going to be horrible. Yeah, I've learned over since the dawn of Twitter, and probably since I started blogging, there are a lot of people who aren't happy unless they can be unhappy about something.
I mean, it really boggles my mind, because when Brandon Morrow's doing all the supposedly good things, striking guys out, all the good peripherals, he's not getting any results. Everybody's complaining and they want him to switch it up. But then when you have a guy on the mound who's doing what you want to do, going deep into games and keeping his team in the game, and, you know, even if it's getting through via ground balls, I don't really care. He's doing the job, and until he stops, let's not worry about it.
I'm with you. Why have we lost the capacity to enjoy what's happening right in front of us? I think a lot of sports fans have lost the capacity to enjoy, and personally, I blame the Leafs. But everybody always is waiting for that next shoe to drop.
Yeah. Okay, and the other thing I just wanted to talk about was Adam Lind for a bit, and I actually, not about his offense. I actually think the Vlad thing is if it'll force Farrell to bench Adam Lind versus lefties a little more, if Vlad's around, makes the team, I don't think that's such a bad thing. But what
Lind's already been benched like more than half the time against lefties, though.
Yeah, but I think you got to
start. And it's happening more often.
Yeah, but when I see him, he started against David Price once, and I think there was another tough lefty that he stayed in on. I just didn't.
He started against C.J. Wilson, but he was like a 500 hitter against C.J., and he took him deep.
Right. Okay, fair enough. But what I have been noticing is that Adam, he used to be pretty good at scooping the ball. And the past few weeks, I mean, he must have missed 5 scoops over the last 10 games.
I'm going to say 3.
Okay.
And, but those are a lot tougher than you think.
Right. I didn't mean to denigrate him, but what I would like is if you could ask, maybe find out, like, how his back's doing. Because before the year, we were told that his lower back was a big issue, and I think he got some time off in the spring. And mm-hmm. I just wonder how that affects his ability to, you know, get down and scoop the ball, let alone to be a force at the plate, and maybe wonder if Farrell should be giving him some more time off.
Sure. I'll talk to him about that. I'll ask. He has missed, well, it's hard to even say he's missed them because, you know, it's like those are kind of gravy when you make the play. You're not supposed to make that play. And he has been, like you said, really, really good at doing that since he moved to first base at the beginning of last year. But, yeah, there have been a few that have gotten by him the last few days, including one today by Kelly Johnson. So, yeah, I'll ask. I'm sure he's not going to tell me if his back's hurting, but I'll see what he tells me. Thank you for the call. Jay is in Toronto. Jay, do you feel bad for the Twinkies?
Not really, because if they have a hot June and July and August, they might be the wild card that we're
seeking. No chance.
Speaking. However, about this time last year, I phoned you. I told you I was Edwin and Carson was number one fan. I don't know if you remember this or not.
Sorry.
Even though he was deficient, very deficient at third base. and yep. he ended up being the best hitter on the club after the All-Star break.
Yes.
The thing with Guerrero, if they ever bring him up, right? Who's going to be released? Adam Lind?
No, Adam Lind's not going to be released. I would expect that Vladimir Guerrero would come up to take the place of Ben Francisco.
Yeah.
He's kind of been the forgotten guy on this team. He'll DH every once in a while against lefties. They really don't seem to have found a place for him.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine that you would keep a guy that you're not using and get rid of Adam Lind.
Yeah, one last thing. If the Jays, in the next 19 games or 18 games, they play New York, the two New York teams, Tampa Bay twice, in two different series, and Baltimore and two and me. I think this is a time where Alex has to actually really look at his ball club at that point in time.
And at the end of May?
By that time, Batista, Jose starts hitting a little bit.
Yeah, that would be nice. I mean, the sooner the better, no question about that.
But I'm impressed with the starting pitching, as everybody else is. And especially, and I feel sorry sometimes for Romero. He will go deep in the games, and he got two no decisions last two outings. But
he's 4-0 though. He's all right. The Blue Jays have done very well when Romero. I think they're 5-2 when he starts.
And then when Alvarez pitches,
I think this might be three wins in a row now for him.
22-year-old kid, he really impresses me. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's okay. I just want to move along, but I appreciate it. I think Alvarez has been really, really impressive, and this is three wins in a row for him now. He's given up a total of one earned run over these last three starts in 22 innings of work, so he's been really, really good, and you're right, for a 22-year-old, he's been terrific. And looking at the schedule, as you mentioned, after this series with Minnesota, the Jays, the rest of May is 5 with the Rays, 3 each with the Rangers and Orioles, 2 with the Yankees, and a 3-game set against the Mets. So that's going to be a nice little test for the Blue Jays, the last 15 games in the month of May, and we'll see how they emerge. Hopefully, they leave Minnesota 21-14. That'd be pretty swell. Let's go to Burlington. Bob is in Burlington. Bob, do you feel bad for Twins fans going through what they're going through with this team right now?
Oh, not a bit, because, I mean, I could easily, you know how this game is, I could easily sweep the Jays the next three games. Look at, it's just the way baseball is, right? Like, you beat them tonight, but the next three games, baseball's a funny game. So I don't feel, by the end of the series, we could be feeling bad for the Jays. So, I mean, you've seen, I'm sure you've seen that before.
I'm talking more about the way they just kicked the ball around and how bad they looked tonight.
Yeah, but maybe they bottomed out tonight, you know what I mean? They may have a clubhouse meeting tomorrow and they might come out on them firing all guns tomorrow.
You're right.
Kind of goals, you know what I'm getting at?
Uh-huh.
One question I want to ask, though. Everybody has their opinion on Bautista, but nobody's probably watched him more than you have the last two or three years. What is your opinion as to what, like, he just seems so far gone out there and lost? I mean, what is your opinion? I mean, I just like to have what you're seeing.
Yeah, I'm not seeing far gone or lost at all. I'm seeing a guy who is missing by fractions of inches. You know, I see the front shoulder coming open too soon, and so the bat drags, and so he's not on time. And he's popping up balls that he normally crushes. And it's fractions of inches that he's missing by. But a baseball is just so hard to hit. He's still getting more than his share of walks. I don't think he's striking out a ton. Before I say that, let me take a look at the actual numbers. But I don't see lost. I see a guy who's just missing and who is incredibly frustrated by the fact that he's just missing. But that's what I see. Someone who's just missing all the time.
Question. They sat Pujols down just for one game, just to sort of, you know, sit down, clear. Do you think that would help with Jose at all? Just give him a day off. Say, Jose, take a day off. Just watch the game, relax. Do you think that would help at all?
I don't know. He had a day off on Monday when everybody else had a day off.
No,
I don't think you can get
just take a day off and
Yeah, as a matter of course.
I mean, they gave Pujols a day off, right?
Right, and then he hit a home run the next day. As a matter of course, I don't think you get better from the bench, but I also don't think you need to play 162 games, and so it probably couldn't hurt. You want to pick your spot properly, because you don't want to sit the guy out the day he's going to hit three home runs. Bautista, by the way, has more walks than strikeouts this year. And less than a strikeout a game, 22 strikeouts in 32 games, or 21. I don't see lost. But as far as the day off is concerned, I don't think it would be that big a deal. I don't think Jose would be very happy about it at all, but I don't think it would be that big a deal. And maybe one of these games, the next 3 days against the Minnesota Twins, maybe tomorrow, when you got a guy with an ERA of 7, maybe against P.J. Walters, who the Blue Jays saw last year and has been a marginal big leaguer at best, maybe that's one of the days that you give Jose a day off. But I don't expect to see it happening. Thanks for all the calls. Appreciate you all so much. Sorry to those of you to whom we could not get. Thanks to Tom Young, Dylan Brown, Joe Sicilia. We'll see you 7 o'clock tomorrow. Good night from Minnesota.